Good morning to one and all on a fine June Sunday morning. Great day to come into God's house and into His gathering to worship Him today in spirit and in truth. I want to welcome everyone today. We're missing a few people this morning, aren't we? Are they still over preparing the food? That could be. Well, that's important too, but it's very important to get over here for some spiritual food as well. But I want to welcome you today. Again, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to worship services at Fruitland Baptist. We're glad to see everyone that's here today here. Excited, too. We have some visitors today. And just want to, again, be sure to welcome Candy and her friend today to our services. Candy, in case you don't know, is the daughter of our founding pastor here at Fruitland, Laverne Hubbard. So we're always glad to see his family back with us and glad for that today. Well, I think we need to get busy this morning and use this good day to give God the glory. So let's stand today if you're able. We have it on the screen, or you have a handout today in Christ alone. And so let's raise our voices in praise today. It's a wonderful day to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and to serve Him and to love Him. In Christ alone. Here we go. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest cloud and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. Comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, was laid here in the death of Christ. I live there in the ground, His body lay, light of the world by dawn. From the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Destiny, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand till He returns, calls me home. Power of Christ, I stand. Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our gracious Father in heaven, today we approach Your throne once again, Lord, just as we've sung to You on the basis and merit of Your Son, Jesus Christ, alone. And so today, Lord, we understand that Jesus has been the central focus for all time by humanity. And Lord, again, Your Word displays Him as the Word. And Lord, all history revolves around the cross of Calvary, both pointing to it and pointing back to it, forward to it and back to it. So today, Lord, You deserve our praise. And we acknowledge today, Lord, our unworthiness. And yet, despite that, You loved us with an unconditional love that we, to its fullest extent, cannot comprehend, Lord, why You would love us, but You did. And so we thank you for that today. Now we thank you today also, Lord, for your grace. And we understand today, Lord, that there may be people that are missing for various reasons. We think, first of all, of our community around us. And Lord, we just pray that our reflective light of your glory might shine into the hearts of those here in Fruitland and in the outlying territories. But we also think today, Lord, of people of our own flock that may be gone for various reasons. There could be illnesses, there could be grief, there could be all types of emotions. Some may be on vacation, different things that are going on, Lord, in life. But we pray today, Father, that you would meet the needs of those where they are at, and Lord, that they would seek your face in all things. Excuse me. Now, Lord, as we go into this time of worship, we would just pray once again that you'd be honored and glorified in the things that are done here today, that you'd be pleased. And Lord, that you would be at work and that your spirit would have free course today as we look into your word. Lord, that there would be changed lives here. And Lord, that there may be a soul that would be saved if someone here today recognizes their need for the Savior. So Lord, we commit this time to you. It's all about you today, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today we have an additional hymn in our program, and that is number 417 in your hymnals, or it is on the screen, an old dynamic hymn. It is Well With My Soul. There's a history behind this hymn. The man's name that wrote it is Horatio G. Spafford, I believe, from memory. And when he was out in the midst of the sea, he crossed over the place where his family had gone down, his wife and family. And this is the song he penned from that day because, again, their faith in Jesus Christ, he knew would preserve their souls and that they would meet again. So here it is. It is well with my soul.
It's like a river attendeth my way when sorrow
it is
roll back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Know this morning, if things are not well with your soul, Jesus is ready to hear from you today. And he can make things well. He's the great physician. He'll heal us, and we're thankful for that today. Well, this morning, we need to shift gears for just a moment, and if you would like to look at the right-hand side of your worship folder or your bulletin or on the screen, there's some information for yet today and for the week ahead, Lord willing. So today, we do have our monthly fellowship that's out of sync by 1 week, where we honor birthdays and anniversaries. And so immediately following the morning service, and probably you'll be smelling the good odors coming from that direction here shortly, come and join us for some food. And if you didn't bring anything today, don't worry about it. At least you brought yourself. And I've never yet seen any kind of a gathering here at Fruitland where we were short on food. It's always just the opposite. So come and eat some of it and enjoy some time together. Incidentally, toward the end of that meal today, I am going to be sharing a few things about our upcoming men's retreat in September. And some of the places that people can volunteer for that. So we'll just talk about that briefly. But I want you to be praying for that event. And also for our Thanksgiving service with the Institute for Creation Research speaker that's going to be up for a seminar the Sunday before Thanksgiving this year. So we want you to be thinking about those things. These are wonderful opportunities to share the gospel and to see Fruitland used mightily of the Lord. And for us to all work together. By the way, it's nice to see everyone again this morning, and welcome to our services. So that following today, the fellowship at 1 p.m., we will have our evening service at 1 p.m., and that includes communion. The kitchen team today, I've been told, is incorrect, but if you know who it is, we need your help today in the kitchen. Also, next Sunday evening, Lord willing, quarterly business meeting. If there are things that we need to place on that agenda, let myself or Deb know about that as soon as you can. Women's Bible study, June 19th. Men's Bible study, June 12th. 10 a.m. on the women's, 9 on the men. Wilton Bible study this Thursday, 6 o'clock, Presbyterian Church basement in Wilton. Deacon meeting on the 17th at 7 o'clock. And a retreat meeting next Sunday afternoon at 4:30, that's for the men's retreat. Also, anyone that's interested in doing special music, please let Jeff or Autumn know. And you'll take a look at my thought for the week there. Some of you may wonder how that applies. It can apply in many ways, but if you want to hear from me later, ask me. Otherwise, think about it a little bit. It's good practical information. Is there anything else that we need to share this morning that I've neglected? All right, then at this time, we still are not passing a plate. If you do have offerings, there's receptacles for those on the back table. Also, there is a handout floating around today. We'll have a part two of our message, and some of you may have forgotten those or lost them. There's some extras again for this morning's message. But at this time, we're going to have a little time of prayer, again, for the time of giving back to the Lord, but also then for us to have some retrospection as we prepare our hearts for worship and to consider where we're at today with the Lord. And have you taken time this morning to tell him that you love him and thank him for all he's done? So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we have some things to come following that very shortly. Father, we thank you now for this day, and thank you, Lord, for all that came out today to worship you and to commemorate your resurrection on the first day of the week. And we thank you, Lord, that through that power of the resurrection, we're guaranteed not only new life, but we're also guaranteed the power of the Spirit-filled life walking with you And we thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you for your word that governs all things. It is also powerful. In some areas, it's even dynamic. It's called dunamis in the original language, dynamite. Lord, help us to be students of your word and to be thankful for that treasure that you've given us today. Now, Lord, we thank you for our jobs and our sources of income and all the blessings that you've given us. They've been abundant to overflowing. And now, Lord, as we have an opportunity, not out of obligation, but out of cheerfulness and joy to give back to you, we just ask today that you bless both the gift and the giver. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all things you've done. And, Lord, what a privilege it is to give a portion of that back to you. So now I pray that you'll bless the giver today, Lord, and the gift. And we ask these things now as we turn our hearts now to meditate and listen to some music here, Lord, that would steer our hearts into your courts for this worship this morning. We ask again, you give us the power of the Holy Spirit today as we look into the word, that we might leave here changed. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Carol. All right, very good.
I was asked to come up and announce here. I wouldn't be up here, but we decided to do something a little special today in honor of my mother, Marilyn Gerard Howard's 90th birthday, and Sharon, her niece, my cousin, will be playing a couple of her favorite songs.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's always nice to see people up here from Leon, Iowa, down in the southern part of the state. Anyway, now my hearing isn't the best, but Marilyn, I think I heard you turn 40. I want to warn you, when you get in your 40s, things change. Seriously, though, we know that Marilyn turned 90 here last Wednesday, and that's quite a milestone. Remember, it's not a reason to think that we're something special, but that God is special to have endowed us with that extra grace, right? And that's a wonderful thing. I think you're now, Marilyn, 20 years on God's grace. No, we're actually always on His grace, but that's a wonderful tribute. Yes?
My mother lived to be 95.
Yes, I remember very well. Yeah.
She really loved the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And now Sharon and Barb are going to bring us another special. And Kay, all right, all kinds of things going on here today.
It's so nice to know Christ is my Savior and to know that He is with me all the way. On the cross of Calvary, our blessed Savior died, gave His life to save the world from loss. In His pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed the blood to stain the old rugged cross. Was His blood, His precious blood, to stain the old rugged cross? Was His love that paid the awful cost? Oh, souls so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood to stain the old rugged cross. To the cross, the rugged cross, they nailed His precious hands, and in death He fully paid the cost. There is pardon in His love for everyone that stands. Pour the blood to stain the old rugged cross. 'Twas His blood, His precious blood, to stain the old rugged cross. 'Twas His love that paid the all. Full cost. All souls so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood to stain the old rugged cross. What an awful death He died to pardon you and me. All alone in agony He tossed, and the world was lost in sin, can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. For the blood, I'm sorry, was His blood, His precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas His love that paid the awful cost. Oh, souls so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Oh, souls so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross.
Amen. Thanks, Sharon. Yep. Amen. Yeah, we should never forget the cross is the central focus of all history. And all things revolve around that when Christ offered himself as the redemptive sacrifice for the world. Well, greetings again in the name of the Lord today. And it's always a special day when we can gather. You know, I've said this many times over the years that these occasions when the church gathers are dress rehearsal for heaven. And we get just a little tidbit of that here, I believe, on earth. But it's going to be a wonderful thing when we're all gathered with the Lord. And that's going to be quite a get-together, isn't it? Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Never forget this today. There's a lot of doom and gloomers out there. I'm not one of them. Oh, I think things are not going to get better from the perspective of what is going on today here on earth. But I know that what we have in eternity is going to be worth it. And it's going to be wonderful. And we're moving closer to that each and every day. Praise God. But we have things to get accomplished yet here on this side of eternity, right? Jesus hasn't said, roll over and play dead. He says, stay alive and keep trusting me and keep giving out that wonderful message of the gospel. So I intend to do that, and I trust that you're doing your part as well on your own. Our title today is a part two, and we have that happen here occasionally at Fruitland where things just don't fit the format, but we just come back till we're done. But the title today is The Ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and in particular as it pertains to the saved. Now, there is a little note sheet that I handed out if you'd lost yours or needed it. I hope there were enough of those this morning. And cheating is allowed here at Fruitland Baptist Church. If you don't have a blank, I do not have these on the screen today, but if you don't have a blank that you don't know from time before, if you weren't here or missed it and so forth, it's okay to ask someone or even me. And I'll help you with that. It's really not cheating, is it? It's just what? Sharing the Word of God. Yeah. So that's not a bad thing at all. It's a good thing. Anyway, we're going to begin. I have a few questions for you as we start. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. I'd ask that you just pray for me today. I seem to be just not on top of things like I could be sometimes. And just pray that the Holy Spirit will intercede and help me to deliver this message. Let's pray. Father God, we bow before you humbly today. And now as we open the Word, the powerful Word, we pray that its dynamics would reach into the hearts of the people here today, applied through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, so often, please forgive us, Lord. We forget that the third personality, the Godhead, resides within the believer. And Lord, so often we don't even tap the resources that the Spirit has and give acknowledgement and thanksgiving for the influence that He has over our lives. Lord, so many times the Holy Spirit's tapped us on the shoulder and saved us from things that could have come our way because of our sin. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that He also comforts us in our time of grief and our time of need. And so, Father, today as we review some of these attributes of the Holy Spirit and the way He operates, let us give thanks and praise today, and let us not restrain or restrict the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and His influence in the world today to convict the lost. So now, Lord, as we go into this text that I introduced a few weeks ago, I pray that you'll help me, that you'll anoint my lips for the speaking here today, Lord. I'm struggling a little bit with that today. I don't know how that happens, but it does. And I know that your power has to overcome it because this guy here doesn't have what it takes to do it without your help. So I pray today that this message will not fall on deaf ears, but that it will accomplish what you have intended for it. It will not return unto you void. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now I have to talk this morning about a few things that might be a little ticklish to discuss. I think we do have some people that have been involved in law enforcement here this morning. I pray that they will be forgiving or maybe don't have their hearing aids turned on today. But I want to ask some of you about when you've gotten a new car, a new motorcycle, a new piece of farm equipment, things like that. I know some of you are very conservative about those kind of things, and you're like that stereotypical Sunday morning little old lady that only drives the car to church and back home. And I tell you, this is truth. My grandma Robinson lived up on 11th Street, 608 East 11th, And there was a couple of old maids that lived across the alley from her. They had a 54 Ford. It was black. You remember in the days how cars were mostly black? Those old girls would come home from church on Sunday. That's the only day they went out with a car. And you would see them on Sunday afternoon underneath that car wiping it off in the garage. Now that's one wing of how people operate, right? But I know there's some other people here today that may not have come from that same kind of background. Now let me just ask you, where were the best places in our area here to proof test a new car? Okay, I'll give you one. And let me say this, we have a lot better roads in some places today. In those days, it was more dangerous. Okay, some of you remember Highway 38. Remember that with the 61 had that too. What it was designed as a gutter for the water to run into specified areas where it came off the road. But what would happen if you got yourself up on that curve or the curb, it would throw you into the oncoming lane of traffic. That was not a good highway to proof test a car. In other words, what I'm saying, you want to know what the car will do. You want to know its capabilities. Well, I'll tell you where I liked. Between Stockton and Walcott on Highway 6. When it was in good shape, you had about a 4-mile stretch where you could really let things unwind and see what they would do. Now, I want to tell you, I don't do things like that anymore. I have had my motorcycle up to... We'll leave that figure un... But I have never tested it to its full capabilities. Anyone else want to give me a road or a place that was good for that kind of thing? Doug.
Well, here's a story. I might get in trouble. My dad and my uncle hung around the high school tipping on cars. And after we got married, you know, in 65, my dad had one of the first old-wheel Cutlass, Jerry Red, and Interstate 80 just opened up.
Yep, that's right.
70 like it is now, but not near as much traffic, barely much traffic.
That's right.
They went up there, speedometer goes up to 140. They got it up to 140 and it was still accelerating.
Yep. Jeff, you're next.
Well, out in my neighborhood, there's second place. Bridge Road when it was brand new.
Yep.
Straight 4-mile stretches, they were painted off.
Yep. They were marked.
I've
yep.
It's been a long time since you've had a muscle car that you wanted to try out. The new cars are just you go to the air.
Well, and the older you get, the more conservative you get, and you think, I get more like the little old ladies up on 11th Street. I don't want anything to happen because you got to fix things all the time, right? Yeah. Well, we've heard a few thoughts there, and you all understand that. I mean, I never have abused any of my stuff, but I do like to enjoy the capabilities that they have, right? You know my favorite tractor, the 806 diesel with an RD injection pump. I love to put that on the culled mulcher in high second, and it looked like a tornado coming across the field. It was giving it everything it had, and what I meant is the smoke was unbelievable out of those tractors. And those are really neat feelings to see things placed to their capabilities and see them perform very well. That's a wonderful thing. Now, you know what I'm going to bring to you this morning. We are given, we are endowed, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And again, I'm not charismatic, but I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is an influence that as a whole, the Christian community has not put to the test of the mighty things that the Holy Spirit of God can do. We talked the last time, as I introduced this message, about the benefits. Everyone's concerned about their benefits, their entitlements, so on and so forth. But you know what? How many times do we even understand what all God's given us in His third personality that is the Holy Spirit? We just resist it, or we... I want to tell you something, folks. I don't care what era we live in. If the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of people, and we begin to, again, get engaged with God, I use that word a lot, you're going to see dynamic things take place for the Lord Jesus. And they can still happen right here in Fruitland. They can happen. We have a very fruitful area in all of eastern Iowa. Every place you go, if people get interested in what God's program is and understand the benefits that we have and put them to use and let Him perform in us, you'll see wonderful things happen. Now, You remember when I introduced this message, I said I've been preaching a lot of different types of things, but we need to get back to, not that we ever left that, but we need to look at some theological things. This could be a very boring message if you're just here to get rote theology. But what I want us to understand about this is the dynamics that God's given us through the Spirit. And so we're going to continue on in our list today. And these are our benefits of the saved. We dwelt, first of all, last time in our message about how people are saved and how it's the work of the Holy Spirit totally that brings us to Christ. So today we're going to be talking about point two on this sheet, beginning with point B, subpoint B, and it's the present salvation ministry to believers from when we're saved on. And so we're going to see the benefits today. If I can, and I'll get as far as we can, we'll be done on time. If we don't get done, we'll finish when we get done, right? Yep, at some point in time. So you can look through that, but I want us to be thinking about that. Have you seen the full dynamics of what the Holy Spirit can do in your life today? And I'm telling you right here today, I have not. And it's my fault. Because I need to let Him have His way and His influence and let Him do what God has given Him to do in our lives. Oh, another example I was going to use. And I don't, if you try to get a hold of me during church or services, I leave my phone in the car. You know, but you know, that little cell phone or device that most of us carry has a lot of good, it has a lot of bad, but we don't realize the power and influence we have in that either, that can be used for good. And we think back, you know, to the old IBM mainframes, that little device you hold in your hand compared to the early 60s is multiple times more capable of things than even those gigantic early computers were. We live in a day of great opportunity. Are we going to use it? That's the key thing. All right, so our first point, point A, last time, is that we're regenerated. I'm not going to re-preach that message, but we have a new birth in Christ when we are saved. We are not reformed, we are regenerated, and you have the references there. So the second point we're going to begin with this morning, where we left off, and these are works of the Holy Spirit, but we're immersed by the Holy Spirit. We're planted into the body of Christ. And what we're talking about there in totality is the universal church. Now, I'm not going to preach a lot about this morning, but the universal church is the great body of believers for all time from all places in this world that, again, have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know this morning believers in Italy. I might know a couple. But the fact of the matter is we are connected in Christ's body, which is the church. Now, we're today in the local church. That's not the universal church. Even though those that are born again here this morning are a part of the universal church, but the local church is where we see each other and where we can identify with each other. But that is the place that God has placed us, and He places us through the immersion or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's an important thing here, how we're placed in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, if I call these references and you're there quicker than I am, help me out for the sake of speed this morning. But here it is, 1 Corinthians 12:13, where it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized or immersed into one body." This is the commonality that we have when we are born again. We become brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've been looking at the spiritual gifts on Sunday evening, and we know that we're all given at least one spiritual gift of God to every believer, but this is where we're put together, where the whole thing can function as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church. And I believe this, folks, the universal church functions in that pattern, but the local church is equipped as well. That's what the Bible teaches for all these things through the gifts. And we're immersed into that body, is the best way to put it. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, Jews or non-Jews. You see, the church is given for who? We saw that last time. Salvation is given to all, and so the church is an eclectic mixture of all ethnicities and all backgrounds. All can be saved in Christ. This was given to us, and the Holy Spirit brings us into that body. Whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So this is the gathering point for the believers. It's again, the immersion or the planting into the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27 through 28. I ask you this morning, do you have an identity? Galatians 3:27 through 28. And all of us are going to say yes. We heard about this in a message not too long ago. We all say, I am. You know, I mentioned one day, I don't just go up to people on the street and say, John. Of course, most of them know me. Sometimes they don't when I'm in greasy clothes. They said, we didn't know who you were. But what do we always say, Fruitland? We say, I am. And we are reminded daily that we are what? We are children of God. He's the great I am. We're identified, you see. And again, what's done when we're immersed in the Holy Spirit, we're identified as one of His. We have a mark on us, okay? We should gladly claim the mark of Jesus Christ. And that's that we've been identified into his body. Galatians 3:27 through 28. Anyone got there ahead of me? I'm there. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's the word immersed, baptizo, into Christ, have put on Christ. In other words, we wear Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Even though we still have our individual identities, we now have a new identity, and that identity is Jesus Christ. We're one of His children. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Folks, we come in the lineage of people that have come to the Lord through faith. And that's the dynamic thing, and that seed can be traced all the way back. It goes actually back to the Garden of Eden. But of course, we know that when God dealt with a guy named Abram, who later became Abraham, what took place? It's recorded in the scriptures. Abraham believed God. He did. He accepted what God told him, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And folks, that's how we're identified. We're identified as people who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's done through the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. Now, we won't talk by Him at our salvation. Now, we won't talk about water baptism for just a minute, but water baptism is what brings us into the local church. It identifies us as being baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And folks, that's where we can all, it's a public profession that says, I have identified with Christ. And that brings us into the fellowship of the local church. More on that at another time. Now down to point C. Again, are these wonderful advantages? You're all saying, oh, that's all that theological stuff. Well, let me tell you something, it is. But if you really get down and understand what God's done for you, it gets exciting. It's like driving over on Highway 6 and seeing what the car is capable of, you see. Because I'll tell you what, you'll never be able to plumb the depths of God's capabilities through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you'll let Him. That's exciting. That's exciting to me. Well, the second part is indwelling. You know, a lot of times I don't think we even comprehend all this. And I admit I don't totally either. But yet I understand we've been given some wonderful things. But I want you to realize today, once again, that when God gave us the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in our lives, if you're a born-again believer here today, the Holy Spirit of God abides in you and in me. Now, that's pretty dynamic, folks. That God is with me today? Let me just say this. You don't ever have to pray for God to be with you if you're saved. Because that's a guarantee. And I hear this all the time. God be with us today. If you're a believer here today, He's with you. Just remember this, though. You're going to be taking Him along wherever you go. Do you really want God to go to some of the things and do some of the places that we do? Duh. We ought to wake up. He's with us. There used to be a guy that drove on Isett Avenue years ago. He actually worked for the county. He ran a road grader. But he, for some of you that don't know this, Isid Avenue used to be the pipeline for everyone that didn't have a license. You know, out north of town, the gravel that was drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that was the road you went where no one would be stopping you usually. But this guy used to come flying up that gravel road. You'd be out there with farm machinery and things, 80 mile an hour down the gravel. Of course, you know, he had a bumper sticker on the back of his car that said, "God is my co-pilot." Let me tell you something, folks, we're never alone if you're saved. Don't ever forget that. When you travel in your car somewhere and you don't have any other person with you, you've got the personality of the Holy Spirit within you. God is with you. When you go into, you name any town, you know, and I used to have the barrel company open. I went to Chicago regularly in the truck. By the way, I never carried a weapon, but I carried a lug wrench. A three-quarter breaker bar with an inch and a quarter socket and an extension. I guess you could call it a weapon. I call it a tire wrench. I remember pulling up one time in front of one of the barrel companies up there in Chicago. I usually left home at 1 o'clock, got up there about 5, 5:30. Pulled up to the gate, it was locked, and there's a guy laying dead in the driveway. I remembered, "Lord, you're with me." You know what? I never had to use the breaker bar. And I did carry a sword, too, by the way. The Word of God. But He's always with us. That's the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 18. Let me ask you today, do you provide a good residence for the Holy Spirit? How's your housing program? John 14, 16 through 18. See, the disciples had a hard time comprehending that Jesus was going to leave. They liked him. They liked his companionship. But what Jesus said is, "I'm going to send you a comforter." That word comforter in the Greek is the word parakletos. Parakletos means one that comes alongside. A helper, a comforter. You know what? If you're in the depths of despair and there's no one around, God the Holy Spirit is around if you're a believer. He will comfort you. He will speak to you in that still, small voice, and he'll encourage you. He's your helper. You see, this is what Jesus was getting at here. He said, there's some good things. And notice also in verse 17, he's the Spirit of truth. You know, we have that mechanism within us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that helps us to discern right from wrong. He works through the conscience, but he also works through the Word of God and tells us. And I believe he also works in another way. It's the King James word, unction. He shows us when we're in dangerous territory, doesn't he? You ever been in a play? I admit, when I was up there in Chicago, I knew this was not home. It was not Wilton, Iowa. But let me tell you, our world today is a fearful place. Just go out and about sometime and see the wickedness and the viciousness that's in the lives of people around us today. Folks, the Holy Spirit is a reminder, and he's a guarantee of what's coming later, our heavenly home, where there will be no more insecurity, but security. Oh, folks, we've got a little bit of heaven right with us today. God's with us, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's the residence of the third person of the Godhead, the helper, the comforter. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I can see already. Oh, have we missed any blanks yet? Okay, let me help you out here a little bit. C is the indwelling residence. The residence of the third person of the Godhead. Just in case you're concerned, A under point one is bring to light. Those are the three blanks. I know some of you are stewing about that, but there it is. Now you don't have to worry. You don't have to cheat. All right, on to item D. This is exciting to me. Sealing. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, it's not what I believe, but it's what the Bible teaches. But when we're saved, we're always saved. And we know that today because God saved us. God doesn't make mistakes. And the Bible confirms over and over, you can come to me with all these things that people have that say our salvation is not secure, but I can show you from Scripture it is. If you really investigate what's there. But when you consider this, our salvation is not of our own doing, it's of God's. And you think he's going to make a mistake? That we somehow can circumvent God's plan for us? Let me tell you, folks, it's not going to happen. If you're ever interested in that, I've handed out a lot of these over the years. I've got a sheet that I made up years ago. It covers every bit of that. It's actually two sheets. For some of you that know, I like to write a lot of stuff. It makes it look better. No, it's necessary, but you understand what I mean. Our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And this spirit endowment of the sealing that we're talking about here has some relevance in that. Now, let me ask you, what is a seal? How does a seal, and I've got some examples there. Don't I have sealing wax, rail cars, trucks? What else do I have on that sheet? Well, let's talk about sealing wax first. Anyone even know what that is? It's wax you put on the ceiling. In the old days, before there was the adhesives that we have on our envelopes, and I know envelopes are becoming obsolete too, what you did, you closed an envelope with something that was in it, a message or whatever, or the check, you know, the check's in the mail, and you took a piece of wax and melted it and sealed that flap of the envelope shut. Now tell me what that did. Kay says it kept it shut. Jason?
Well, it's for identity, it's for protection, and so that when the person that's supposed to get it opens it at the right time.
That's right. All of the above, and we could talk about that. Many people had a stamp, their own personal mark, that when you stamped into that sealing wax, you knew who it came from.
Signet.
It was like a signet. The king, you know, yeah. But it also security, as Jason mentioned. You could tell if that envelope had been tampered with. By the way, how many of you are confident when you go to Casey's that the gas pump is giving you what you bought? I am. But I want you to know, if you read on there, there's a little strip about yay big, yay tall. And it says, sealed by the state of Iowa, Department of Weights and Measures, Department of Agriculture. You're right, Autonom. But I've seen people put the key in that little thing and open it. That seal just comes right off and goes back on. You don't believe me, do you? I've seen it. But let me tell you something. When God places his seal on us through the Holy Spirit, we're sealed.
Yeah.
We're protected, folks. No one's going to break that seal. Same thing, rail car or truck. When a rail car leaves a facility where it was loaded, let's use the example that it has grain on it. I unloaded many rail cars onto the barges down here on the river in years gone by. Every door on every car had a seal with a number on it. When they filled the car, Larry, you know what I'm talking about. Tell us, Larry, what was it? A little aluminum band with a ball on the end of it. We had to record the numbers of the doors that we broke the seal on, and that all went back to the shipper so that we had security that what? It arrived at its destination. And it's the same thing with trucks and everything else. It's a common little thing. Most people never know anything about it, but it's an important thing because you know what? If it's been messed with, you know it's been tampered with. But the seal of God through the Holy Spirit when we're saved is secure to the nth degree. Amen. Jeff. Absolutely.
You've got seals for your protection on it now. A lot of people are getting used to seeing that kind of thing that aren't familiar with things in the industrial world.
That's very true, and that's a good example, Jeff, and you're seeing more and more of that. Remember the big scare about Tylenol 20 years ago or so? Used to be you get a bottle of Tylenol, it had what in the top?
Cotton.
No seal. Now you know you got to pull that open because it's sealed. So it gives you some measure of security. Anyway, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 and 4:30. Someone maybe is there already. Oh, I got right there quickly. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. He says, in whom you also trusted. He's talking again here about salvation, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. How many of you are looking forward to an inheritance? Don't put your hands up. You can just think about this. But you know what, folks? The down payment, which is what that word earnest means there, the down payment of our salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a reminder and a guarantee that we are due an inheritance, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what He's done. Folks, as I mentioned earlier, we have a wonderful future. If you're here today as a born-again believer in Christ, don't go out of here sad today. Go out of here thrilled. Because you know what? Let me just say this. People that are counting on earthly inheritances, things can fly away. You stop and think about it today, folks. There's a lot of people, and the way things cost and so forth today, inheritances can be gone in a flash. If you've got someone in an elderly care facility, $7,000 to $8,000 a month singly, another $2,000 or $3,000 on top of that if you're in there as a couple. Now, I don't know, folks. That's still a lot of money to me. And I'll tell you what, stuff goes quickly, and it gets away, doesn't it? You never want to count on any of our earthly inheritance. Right? But we can count on our heavenly inheritance because of the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? Are you getting more excited? Stop thinking about that earthly stuff. The Bible says set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth, right? Anyway, now over to 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. And we find this. Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Redemption means when we enter, again, the things that were promised to us, and we redeem them. That's going to be when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. The sealing of the Holy Spirit guarantees what is yet to come, and that our salvation is secure in Christ. Now we're down to about 4 minutes. I'm thinking we're going to have to come back again, but not next week. Is that going to upset anyone? I've got a little time for counseling this week. But you know what? It ought to upset us. We ought to be saying, Pastor, we want to hear more of this. Maybe someone here today is saying, I've never heard of this before. What a shame, too, if these kind of things are not preached. Yeah, this is called doctrine. Doctrine, the name for doctrine is irrefutable truth. But I'm telling you something, folks. I get into this kind of thing. The Spirit fills me when I look at these things. And He says, wow, you've got some fine things given to you by God. You ought to be excited about that. Use them, right? Isn't that what we said the first week? Use them when we talked about spiritual gifts. Use them or what? By the way, I have thought about that. I don't think we ever lose the gifts of the Spirit, but we make the choice not to use them. God doesn't take things back. We reject the gift. We've talked about all that before. By the way, if you're visiting today, all these messages are on the website, so you can check me out. And the complaint department is open at least a half hour every day, but I don't publicize the hours. It could be you'll call when it's closed. All right, where are we at here? Yes, I know, Fruitland. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's our last one for today. Mark that down in case I forget. Let me tell you, folks, we are not just floating around in time and in space. God has a purpose for every one of His children. And let me just say this, not from my advice, but from the Word of God. He'll show you what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to go. But see, the problem is if we aren't led and if we're not filled by the Spirit, we think we're out here in time and space and all these things just happen randomly. There are no accidents with God. If you're a blood-bought believer, you have not been involved in an accident in your life. You have been involved in God's providential will. Let's get our thinking straightened out on this stuff. Did you hear me? I know we're on overtime now. Will you give me just a little extra? Okay. Let's go to, well, what anointing is, it's the divine appointment for God's glory, for His use. We talked this morning in the junior high, senior high class. We've been studying main, I don't like to use the word characters, but main personalities in the Bible. Because they're not characters. The Bible is not a story. The Bible is a literal account of things that have happened. And literal people. And we've been talking about, and junior, senior hires that were here this morning, who'd we talk about this morning? Kinzer? Good job, Kinzer. I know you're listening. I know Haley was. And remember with Moses, God, I can't re-preach that whole thing, but God said what? Moses, I want you to go. And what did Moses say? No. But did Moses end up going? Every one of us has a divine appointment, but I would proffer this, that there are people in these seats this morning and people behind the pulpit this morning that have said to God, no, I ain't going to go. But I'll tell you what, folks, God has a way of getting a hold of us. But He has a divine appointment for every one of us. The longer you fight and resist it, the more miserable you're going to be. Anyway, we got to get done here. But we're given a divine appointment for God's use and His glory. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. I've triple-checked all my references, but I still could have made mistakes. Here it is. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also, and here's our word again, sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Our divine appointment is revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And then also on that reference is 1 John 2:20-27. 1 John 2:20-27. And as I told you before, folks, you always know this with me, I don't give you every reference. We can all work on that on our own, right? 1 John 2:20-27. 1 John 2:20. Here's 20. And I mentioned this word earlier, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. What's an unction? That's right, Shirley. God gives you, He gives you a sense about these kind of things. That's an unction of the Holy Spirit. About our divine appointment. As we've been exploring in Sunday evenings, the spiritual gifts, we talked about how we can determine what those are. And I won't go into that again this morning. But there are ways, and that the body of Christ helps us with that. It's not only your own revelation of the Spirit that's given to you about what your gifts are, but you're determined through that, through the Word, and through what other people have to contribute. If you wonder about that, you might ask someone. See what they have to say. Anyway, an unction. And then verse 27, and it's dinner time. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Who would that be? The Holy Spirit. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is not, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now let me just say this before. You've heard this from me many times. I don't endorse any pastors, including myself. What do we need to do? We need to examine these things again through the Word that are spoken. Because ultimately today, if I have spoken the right things today, the Spirit will use that in a life, if it's true to the Word of God. But let me say this again. We all have the responsibility to test that, and it is the Spirit that will give us that ability. Amen.
Amen.
We're not out here just fooling around in time and space. We've got the power of God that rests upon us through the Holy Spirit. Now the conclusion, and we'll come back some and mark where we stopped. Because there's a lot more good things. And we'll get them next time. But there we have it. What a ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Thank you, Lonnie. Amen. I know you're... Come on, John. It's time to eat. We better eat the food here. This is the nutrition that will help us, folks. But what a ministry. If you're like me, I think we emphasize the Father and the Son more than the Holy Spirit. But that should not be the case because they are all co-equal, yet they are diverse in rank. I understand that. That's what the Bible teaches. But let me ask us this morning, how have you responded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it possible that many have said, I believe in the Frank Sinatra doctrine. I want to go to heaven, but I want to do it my way. I asked you this morning, maybe there's someone here today that's been called this morning by the Spirit to be saved. Maybe you've come to understand that the Spirit's been working on you and saying, you know what, you are a sinner. The Bible confirms this. It tells you this. You're in mortal danger of eternal death. But Jesus can deliver you to eternal life. Today's the day to respond to that. And again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I mean, place your faith and trust in Him. By the way, the Bible says He is the only way. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. That's where you've got to go today. Maybe there's people here this morning that need to have a change in their walk or my walk with the Lord. Let me tell you something, rediscovering what the Spirit is doing for you today can be a great encouragement to get back on track with the Lord. A great encouragement. Well, here's my last thought. We better be very careful if we restrict the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We better let Him have free reign today in our lives. Amen. I'm done. You've got a song sheet today. As our closing, I believe it is on the screen. Patsy, it's okay if you didn't want to come up, but thank you for doing that. Let's stand if you're able, but understand this today. God didn't give us all this stuff just because He wanted to give it to us. He really wanted to give it to us, but He cares about us. God cares about every person. And we are the reason that Jesus came to the cross of Calvary, that we might have life eternal, that we might be forgiven of our sins. I'll tell you what, folks, this is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to receive the Savior. It's a beautiful day to draw closer to the Savior. It's a beautiful day to confess to the Savior. It's a beautiful day to thank the Savior. Where has the Savior been in your priority today? But we are the reason. God just didn't do it. He did it for us. You go to the Lord today. I mean, you're welcome to come forward. I'm glad to talk with you. There's other people here too. But today's a day to get it together with God and to understand what's going on, that we're not just in time and space in a fog. You go to Him today. We are the reason that He gave His life. We are the reason that He suffered and died. To a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to live. We are the reason. Thank you, Patsy. Thank you so much. Don't forget to take time today to talk to the one who loves you so. We're going to dismiss in Jesus' name. Doug Chatfield, would you close in prayer? I'll greet you at the door if you can't stay, but come on over, have some food. We'll reconvene over here about 1 o'clock for our evening service.
Thank you.